Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. I say welcome back because it seems like it's been a while. It hasn't been that long. But you're on the EFES Nation Podcast. This is episode 24. I'm your host, hopefully with the most, Chase Shurik, each and every time. Excited to have one of our EFES Nation buddies on with us. We've done some podcasts in the past, but for this particular podcast, it's his first time on with us. I'm excited to have John Peterson with us. John, thank you for the time, and glad to have you with us today, man.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, we're going to talk today a little bit. We've kind of been beating the audience up. It seems like this organically, well, naturally, I'll say. We've been kind of beating the audience up over all of the episodes that we've done in the past. We've been talking about holistic, organic, cross-selling. You're a catalyst for that, but we're not going to beat you up today. You can kind of go over it if we get to it. But today we're talking a little bit different topic. Today's topic is going to revolve around just, you know, process, strategy, efficiencies in your business, so that for everybody listening in or watching on YouTube, in the university, whatever it may be, maybe we can give them some tips and tricks on how to become more efficient with their business and some of those inner workings. So first, let's start off with introducing you to the audience. When did you get into the business? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, great question, Chase. You know, I got into the business actually right before COVID kicked off. And so I started my licensing back towards the end of 2019 and kind of finished up first part of 2020 and started with another agency. And the original plan was to go and work in schools and sell insurance in schools. And that was right around March of 2020. So we had to do a little change of plan. So I've been in the industry getting close to about 4 years now.
That's awesome. Yeah, one thing I've noticed for our audience listening in, to kind of give you a little peek behind the curtain, John is somebody who takes a very cerebral approach to the business. And normally that can be scary, but I think it's always a good thing. John, when I say cerebral, he's very measured, very articulate with his messaging to the clients, but also in terms of the behind the scenes inner workings of his business. He doesn't leave any stone unturned, very detailed, which obviously is part of your success. Let's talk about process. We'll get right into it. Process and talking about how you've laid out your business model so that things work efficiently, because there's a lot of moving parts for agents that are out there. Making a sale is hard enough, but how do I take that client's information, plug it into a CRM? How do I make my business organized and run efficiently? Tell us a little bit of the secrets that you've accumulated through trial and error with your business.
Sure thing. And I think main thing I want to discuss here, because the danger is analysis by paralysis or paralysis by analysis, right? Yeah. And so when you're planning things out, when you're getting started, there can be a temptation to say, well, I can't get started until I have this in place, or until I have the CRM just set up just right, or until I have all of my carriers on board, or until I have this or I have that. And in the beginning, that is not as important. You want to set the foundation, but you're not trying to do the whole thing at once, right? And so when I started out with my business, I did have a CRM on day one, but I also had experience with CRMs before I started this business. And so it wasn't a big lift for me to create the CRM. I kind of already knew what I needed to know, and I learned the rest iteratively. And so first week I went out in the business, I was super inefficient. You know, I was driving 30 minutes, 45 minutes, not just between appointments, but between door knocks. I didn't have that many leads to begin with. I had 30 leads, 20 leads, whatever, and they were spread all around Harris County in Houston. And Harris County is massive, and then you add some traffic in there, and you're looking at huge, huge delays between door knocks. And so, you know, my builder was like, man, what's taking so long? He's like, dude, I don't have that many leads. And I got a lot of driving to do here. I'm doing my best. It's like, okay, cool. You know, that will get better as the weeks go on. And so you start accumulating more and more leads every week. You know, not everybody's going to see you. Not everybody's going to set an appointment. Not everybody's going to be there or be home. No problem. I'll see you next week. And so as the weeks went on, next thing you know, you got a lot of leads that you can work. You don't have to drive as far. I love working at a blitz level, but at home. And how I'm able to do that is by managing my leads properly, by having that CRM in play, by having that route mappers. Like a lot of folks like to use Road Warrior. I use Badger Maps. And so having those things working for you. So typically, you know, I've got 5-10 minutes in between each door knock. Like yesterday I was out there, I hit 13 doors. I did have some admin time in the morning. I need to do some stuff. So not even quite a full work day. And I had, you know, 13 doors. And when I was getting down to it, I was hitting 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute in between doors. That's how you're able to get the activity in place. And then once you get that activity in place, the numbers, the sales, all the things start going in your favor. That momentum starts working in your favor. So yeah, great question, Chase.
Yeah, in touching on the CRM part, we discussed this on our morning calls that we do with all of the agents we work with. You know, you really can create paralysis by analysis when it comes to some of the technology items that you need in your business, because you see on social media, I need to go spend $250 for this CRM and I need to plug it in. And it's not as easy getting it connected and plugged into your business as you thought. You got to learn how to utilize it, how all the inner workings actually move and shake. You know, we talk about starting with just the basics, like even just a Google sheet, like an Excel right. or a CSV, and then building up to it. Cause like you said, you had a technology background, you know how to connect and move and shake with things. So, you know, for those that are listening in to John's point that I think is really big, you don't have to be a coder, but, you know, find something simple, basic that'll actually work for you and then expand and build from there. I love the mapping, part of it when you talked about in terms of working your leads efficiently. That's something for agents that are listening in to really drive home with you. You know, if you're going to be buying leads consistently on a weekly basis, which you should be, if you're doing this full time, you need consistent new prospects. You know, being able to go back and work those leads is very important, because timing is everything. You know, they may have filled that card out and there was an emotional reason they filled it out right then and there, and then it cooled off by the time you got the lead or by the time you made contact. That doesn't mean that lead is dead. And so to John's point, you know, John, you've made many, many sales off of people that you received the lead on months and months prior, but you continue to put that in the arsenal. When you work that area, you go back out and see them, and the timing was right for you to connect and make a sale, right?
Absolutely. And not only months, but years. You know, I'm big proponent of buying bonus leads when they're available. I just bought another couple hundred bonus leads in Harris County from the Equita shopping cart. You know, so I just keep an eye on that shopping cart. I look at the areas where I like to go work. You know, for me, I've got family in Harris County. I've got family in Dallas County in Texas. And then, of course, I live here in San Diego County in California. And so I kind of got my spots. And then whenever I see some leads come available, like, awesome. You know, I can go back and visit my parents at home. I can go hang out with them for the week. They'll see me not as much, you know, Monday through Friday, but like Saturday, we get to hang out. Sunday, depending on when my flight leaves, might have some time in the morning as well. And so yeah, I love doing that. You know, I've already got a place to stay, so that's out of the way. And it's just nice seeing my parents. But yeah, working leads efficiently, not only the leads you get every week, but if you're low on leads, go buy some bonus leads if they're available. If you see the bonus leads that are in the counties, especially that are kind of your target counties, buy them up. You know, they're cheap and it's all about volume and activity. You know, I've got a CRM. I like to use ActiveCampaign because it's expandable, because I can use integrations. I can integrate it with other services like Badger Maps that we discussed earlier. I'll also integrate it with other services that send out thank you cards for me, voicemails, text messages. So I've got a lot of stuff. I didn't have all of that at day one, but every week I'm like, hey, this would be cool if I could do that. And just yesterday I started adding in the foundations for being able to send cookies to my clients. There's some clients that have been with me for years, and not only have I done a lot of business with them, but they've sent me business from family and friends. And so now I'm laying the foundations in there. I try to keep it simple. And so I've got a little tag in ActiveCampaign. It's like, hey, you know, I've got cookie person identified, right? And then once I do that, then my assistant can go in there. And then once she sees, okay, identified, I'll create a procedure for that, for what she needs to do. Are they within the shipping zone where they can have, there's a big place called Tips Treats. You may recognize Chase and Houston and Dallas. And with them, like, they'll do delivery. And so I'm looking into that, and maybe it's warm cookies if they're within the regular zone. Maybe it's shipping via USPS if they're not quite in that zone. Or maybe they're an apartment complex that has a gate. Maybe the cookie guy can't get in. And so just cool little ideas you think of, and being able to have a CRM that's expandable. There's so much that I do with my CRM now that I didn't do initially that allows me to work my leads efficiently. I've got thousands of leads that I have that I just keep in play and just work and work and work.
It's an old phrase, you know, and agents naturally will ask this as they're getting into the business, you know, hey, I got this lead a year ago or 6 months ago. Is it still good? That phrase that we've used for years is if they're alive, so is the lead. I never know. Timing is everything. And to the other point you just made, I don't know anybody that doesn't like cookies. You know, I didn't by not liking cookies. And just, you know, getting serious about it, like, if you think about it from your client's perspective, which is good to do in your day-to-day business, think about it from their perspective. If they randomly just got a package today from Tiff's Treats or whoever, and it was a gesture of thank you, hey, we appreciate your business, they're going to remember you. That's gonna etch a memory there of, you know what, John sent me this thank you. Those were some pretty good raisin or macadamia nut cookies. That is something small to you that may be listening in, and you don't really think about it, but it's something big to them. So it's something that'll leave a mark. And that's a strategy item right there too, believe it or not, if you're listening in and hearing that. I want to talk strategy with you, John. You're somebody who, and we get caught up in our industry with these gaudy numbers, and people I do 40,000 a month. Those are awesome numbers. I love it. But I can count, I don't have enough toes and fingers to count the amount of guys and gals I've seen come into the business, write a ton of business on a monthly basis for a short period of time, and then they're gone. Right. You're somebody who, you're a marathon runner. You're not a sprinter. And your quality of business, first and foremost, for those listening in, John's quality of business is exceptional. Persistency is phenomenal. Placement is phenomenal. You know, from a complaint perspective, like, I don't even know if I've ever seen a complaint come through on you through the Medicare side. So you do a really good job working with the people that you serve and out in the field. I want to talk about your strategy, because you've baked in and built a very, very solid, well-rounded business. But you don't do it to where you're redlining, to where you're stressed because you got to write 50,000. You're building a heck of a residual income while making a great living up front on the life side. What clicked to help you find your winning strategy? And then we'll dive into your winning strategy.
Yeah, the important thing to become up with a strategy is you got to have numbers, right? So they say data is the new oil, right? So you have to keep track of your day-to-day numbers. How many door knocks did you do? How many appointments did you do? You know, how many presentations did you do? How many sales did you make from those presentations? What type of sale was it? Was it a Medicare sale? Was it a life sale? Was it a hospital indemnity? Those kinds of things. And so I've got my sales broken down by pipeline. And what's a pipeline? So a pipeline is the process or journey in which your lead takes from start to finish. Well, the start of the pipeline is when you get the leads, right? And then from there, you start dialing. So you kind of go to the appointment setting stages, and I've got several of those. If they're not picking up the phone, then door knock stages, depending on where you live. And so we've got those stages, and then, you know, you just kind of work them through those stages. Each stage in that process is part of that pipeline. And so I've got numbers broken down by pipeline, so I can figure out strategically, what do I need to do in certain areas? And while I was back in Texas, you know, there were times where I made consistently right around the $20,000 number in terms of mostly life sales every month. Now, there were months where I even had $26,000 in sales. That's about kind of my high end where I've sales-wise that I've gotten. Now, it didn't start out that way. There were some troubling months where, you know, we had to slow down in leads in that area. And so what did I do? Well, I started looking at my numbers and I said, well, what do I need to do to get my numbers back, you know, above 15 into that $20,000 range? And so I looked at that and I said, well, I need more people to call. I need more people to knock. And so I went and bought a bunch of bonus leads once again. And that kind of threw some fuel into the fire, and I was able to go and get my numbers up. I went from having sub 10,000. I mean, I don't know exactly what it was, but there were some months where I was running out of leads, and I was getting close to maybe even like the $5,000 number for the month, which for me is, that's worse than my first month in the business. And so I said, what do I need to do? I need more leads. Went to the lead center, bought some leads from you guys, And then I started turning it into $15,000, $16,000, $20,000, $26,000 months. And so knowing my numbers, keeping track of my, there's a daily schedule that is out there in the, there's a Dropbox link. And inside there, there's a schedule to keep track of your activity. I just take that and I put it in a spreadsheet. And then from there, I start saying, well, where are my numbers? You know, you can really psych yourself out in this business by going with your gut. Your gut's important, but your gut is not good at looking at and discerning and figuring out fine details of numbers. You need to arm your gut with real information based on your production in your county to see what you need to do. And in Texas, my mix is different than my mix is in California. And so for me, my mix in California, I'm much more successful out here with Medicare. Medicare is awesome here in San Diego. Cost of living, as you know, is much higher in California, one of the highest in San Diego. Our electricity is the most expensive in the continental United States. Our county has the most expensive electricity in the continental United States. And so you put that into the same clientele that we've got in Oklahoma, that we've got in Texas, that we've got in Florida. It's the same, they make the same amount of money, right? And the cost of living is so much higher. So what do I need to do to adapt the environment I live in? And it took me a while. You know, there were several strategies that I went with before switching over to what I call a Medicare first strategy, but I use my numbers to guide me and I use my upline. You know, Holden Hassel has been fantastic. We would meet and I would bounce strategy ideas off of him. And he was actually the one that came up and was like, dude, why don't you just switch to doing Medicare first? And I was like, I really like being able to sell life insurance. I like being able to make sure that, you know, I'm getting that money, you know, in a quick manner up front. But when I started looking at it, I was like, ooh, my close ratio for life insurance here in California is half of what my close ratio is for Medicare. So that means that, yeah, my numbers are quite as high on a per app basis, but if I can sell twice as much insurance based on the same lead costs, well, we're getting kind of close in terms of value, lifetime value for the client and for that lead. And so that's where I was able to make the shift. And, you know, I still sell Medicare, still sell life insurance, just not as much here in San Diego. The other strategy I came up with Holden was to travel. You know, that's something that Equita has been big on. It's like, hey, go on a blitz. You know, they say quarterly at a minimum. I try to go on a blitz once a month. And so I start planning out. I start looking at leads. Where do I need to go? And I will go to a place where life insurance is really good, like once again, Texas. And so I'll go there and I'll sell. And then I'll get a lot of cash when I'm back in Texas. And then I'll come back to San Diego and then I'll keep hitting on the Medicare stuff. And it works out really well.
From a financial perspective, not to ask for bank statements or anything like that, but from a financial perspective, since you've integrated Medicare and you do the holistic approach of cross-selling, just because you've written annuities as well now, how big of an impact has that balance made for you from a financial perspective?
Yeah, I've gotten really good at selling Medicare here. And so the numbers are lower because the amount of the, you know, just the app is lower, right? In California, you get $381 per app for a Medicare Advantage, which is fantastic, but it's not $1,000, right? So when I'm selling I'm selling life insurance in Texas, it's around $1,000 an app. And so it's not $1,000, but once again, I'm able to sell at a much higher close ratio. So I think last month, let's see, we're in May right now. April was a little bit low. So I was probably around like 13 or 14,000 in April. In March, I was like 16, 17,000. In February is a little bit of an off month. I was probably around like 12,000 in February. And so the big thing though to remember with Medicare is this is a recurring sale, right? It's not just about the sale where you walk in the door, you're a one-time thing. Thank you. We're just having you for a year. No, I want these guys on the books for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So I'm not talking, you know, $15,000. That's a one-time thing. I got to go back out and jump on the hamster wheel and do it again. I'm making $15,000 next year and I'm making $15,000 the year after that. So the goal is not just today's income, it's recurring income. It's tomorrow's income as well.
And that's kind of what I was alluding to was the balance now of just, you said it, and we talk about it all the time, that hamster wheel for just straight life agents. Every month you go out and kill it, but then you got to do it all over again. the residuals are just so small on the life side compared to Medicare. That's what I was alluding to when I said the balance. Now you feel a little bit more comfortable, less anxiety because you have that residual built and ever growing. Yeah. You continue to do it. It is a little bit more stress free now than it was previously with just life.
Yeah, and I'm still, you know, pushing pretty hard, but I have pulled back a little bit. I'm allowing some time to balance things out. You know, I was just, started going to the gym about 6 weeks ago. I now have time to go and do that kind of stuff. So I'm at the gym 3 days a week. In the beginning, when I was doing just life and starting out, you know, my mantra was go until the sun goes down. And right. In the summer in Texas, that's like 8 or 8:30. So I'm knocking on doors until 8 o'clock and doing all that kind of stuff. And now, you know, I go until 5 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I go to the gym at about 6 o'clock. And I'm using that time between 5 and 6 to call back clients, you know, make sure and keep on top of my customer service, checking in on things. You know, my car is my office. You know, got a little, it's kind of funny because I never thought I would actually buy one. On Amazon, there's this thing called a laptop steering wheel desk. And so I pop out my laptop steering wheel desk. I've got my laptop there. I pull my seat back and then I'm working in the car. I've got sometimes 3 screens up in the car. I've got my laptop. I've got my iPad and the steering wheel. I've got my phone up in the little kind of holder for the phone. So it's literally, I mean, it's a mobile office.
That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. And as we pivot, that first topic that we touched on when you talked about process, I think people are going to go back and listen to that a couple of times to really let it digest and understand it. I want to kind of segue now because it all coincides, process, strategy, and ROI. I want to talk about ROI and how you Yep. manage your business because, as you know, part of our university training for new agents coming in, we talk about money management. And we probably don't talk about it enough on calls each morning because we've done it for so long, for so many years. But, you know, from a financial perspective and also just from an ROI monitoring perspective and management, what's the message to the agents that are tuning in and listening to this episode that you really focus on as it pertains to your ROI?
Yeah, ROI is, in the beginning, you're not making as much, your skill level is not as much. And so you can be, and you don't have as much money coming in, you know, on a residual or a one-time basis, or basically one-time basis for the life insurance side. And so in the beginning, the equation's a little bit different. You've got to focus your money on leads. You got to focus your money on what will make you efficient in the field. So that's going to be a tool like Road Warrior, Badger Maps, a CRM of some sort. You know, once you get past the first, I wouldn't go longer than like a month or so of making sales before I had a good CRM in place, because otherwise you'll just get trapped in your spreadsheet. And so, yeah, I would get those tools in place, and then you start to get more efficient. So one of the examples I used during one of our morning calls is around an iPad. So I just bought a new iPad. And I was like, I don't need the cellular connection. You know, I'll just connect to my phone. I know how to do technology. I've got a hotspot. And so I had it out in the field. It was super fast. It made a huge difference. And it was great. But then I started looking at my iPad. It's like, dude, I'm sitting in my car. I'm waiting like 30 seconds, a minute, 30 seconds, a minute. And I was like, I'm doing this 20 times a day, 30 times a day, 30 seconds, a minute. That's like 30 minutes a day just wasted connecting to my iPad. Okay, well, let's multiply that times 5. Now we're talking about 2.5 hours a week. Let's multiply that out times the month. Now we're talking 10 hours a month. Over, like, that's a good work day out in the field wasted connected to my iPad. What's that worth? So I went out and bought a new iPad. Same chips, same screen, same everything, except I had the cellular connection. And I gave my wife the old iPad. She's like, dude, you just bought a new iPad. Why are you buying a new one? And then I explained it to her. She's like, okay. So I made my money back on that iPad in 1 month by buying a new iPad with cellular. And so I'll teach you guys a little trick that I was able to use with T-Mobile. You may be able to do this with others. Oftentimes they try to sell you a tablet plan or a whatever plan, hotspot plan, whatever. But they'll give you the phone plans for like cheap. Like T-Mobile pretty much gives them away. Bring 2 phone lines on. No, I don't lie. We'll give you all this stuff. And so I had an extra line with T-Mobile. And they said, yeah, you can't use that line for your hotspot. like, just give me the SIM card. So I put it in there. We got the SIM card activated. It works fine. I've got unlimited data on my iPad, and it's technically a mobile phone line, but it's a SIM card. It's a data line, and it works fine. So you may be able to do that. The guy on the phone when I was talking to T-Mobile wasn't even sure if he could actually do it. I said, let's roll with it. If it doesn't work, then fine. You know, I'll just buy another tablet line if I need to, but I didn't need to. And I've been using it for years that way. So ROI, also finding where you can save money in little areas like that is important. I'm not saying you should throw away money. I certainly tried to look at areas where I can save money and find little niches like I just shared with T-Mobile. The other areas technology-wise, you know, Badger Maps is huge at routing. I really like it. I can put up to, it's around 120 contacts in one route and just kind of work it. So you don't need that many in a route. I mean, usually for door knock routes, between 50 and 100 is just fine. And you can just go hammer on people's, not hammer on their doors, but knock on their doors, put the hammer on the accelerator, go from house to house. The other big thing is staying out of traffic. And so, especially when you're in a county like Houston has some of the most, probably the worst traffic in the U.S. because Texas, as you know, Chase, is growing. It's growing, growing, growing. So many people are coming into Texas, and it's kind of busting at the seams, and you can see it in the highways. You know, when I went to Bexar County back at the beginning of the year on a blitz with you guys, holy smokes, traffic in Bexar County, San Antonio, could not believe it. And so why are you driving through traffic? Go knock on a few more doors. And so stay out, you know, knock on doors, you know, till 6 o'clock. If it's wintertime, when it's getting past, you know, dark, I try to end the day around 6, but summertime, you can go until 7, and then you don't have to worry about traffic. How's traffic? It's great. I'm driving from neighborhood to neighborhood. There's no traffic in the neighborhood. So being efficient just with simple things like traffic and how you use your time, you know, packing a lunch, it can be something as simple as packing a lunch. I pack a lunch and I pack a dinner. And so I pack both in my cooler. I've got a pretty awesome setup in my trunk. It's not a Yeti or anything, but it's a very good cooler. It keeps everything cool, even in the hot Texas heat. And so I use that. And just, you know, I'm out in the field. I'm hanging out. I'm catching up on admin work. I'm doing that stuff in the car. And then I'm staying out of traffic, staying out of, you know, those long wait lines and to go drive-through lanes at like a fast food place.
Yeah, I mean, efficiency directly impacts ROI, to your point. For sure. And, you know, there's a lot of agents that are probably listening in right now that are probably giving that, oh my goodness, kind of face. Like, that's me. You know, I'm stopping and I'm spending money that I, you know, that I don't have to eat, particularly in that growth phase, that introductory phase of their business. But then also just, like you said, the mapping, the ability to put those dollars that are hard-earned back towards your business to reinvest into your business. You know, that's something that I've heard you talk about on calls as well that I've really enjoyed. So, you know, those three words that we talked about today, the process, you know, the strategy and the ROI are something to pay attention to. Don't get lost too much. Not that you don't want to pay attention to training, sales techniques. Those are important. You got to do it. But then also there's a business side of it as well that you have to pay attention to effectively run your business. So, John, as we wrap up today's episode, is there anything that you want to throw out as kind of a parting shot to everybody before we say goodbye?
Yeah, you know, there's a nervousness about investing in your business, and that nervousness can go away if you're tracking your numbers. So all those numbers we talked about before, those daily numbers you go through and what you make on each sale, that will give you confidence to say, okay, well, if I invest in my business, then I can, here's where my expectations are. And if you're tracking the numbers properly, you know, sometimes you'll get missed. Sometimes the numbers will be clouded and you won't realize it until you kind of go through it. And then your strategy might be off. I've been there. But once you kind of dial it in, you realize, oh, okay, cool. If I put in, it's just a machine, right? And you're part of the machine that kind of makes everything work. And so you're a factory, right? So you're a machine inside the factory that's making money. So you put in money and then you get out more money. That's kind of the whole point with the time that you put into it. And so think of it that way. And how can I improve my process? How can I improve my procedure? You cannot expect your factory to output more money, more cars, whatever, if you don't put more of the raw material into it. Now, you can make things more efficient in there where you can say, oh, well, I need to focus on referrals and this and that. And so you might find some tricks to make your factory a lot more efficient. Sure, that's great. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to invest in your machine, invest in your factory, to make sure that your factory keeps running, or it's going to run out of raw materials and it'll be done. I see so many business owners that they don't want to put any money into their factory, and then they want money to come popping out of it, or they get struggle because they've got a bill to pay or this to do or that to do, and they shortchange and strangle their business by not putting money into it in the form of leads, time, tools, effort, those kinds of things. They're not doing it. And then all of a sudden the factory stops churning it out. Well, you've kind of brought that on yourself. And as a business owner, you need to have the mentality that that business comes first, and you got to feed that business. If you don't feed that business, it will not feed you. So don't lose faith. You just got to have faith, and you have to look at those numbers to give yourself an educated guess. You can use that gut once you've got those numbers in place to make sure that it can guide you. Not a bad idea. You just got to give your gut the right numbers. There's a kind of a saying that I have around ROI. I'm not really that interested in addition and subtraction when it comes to ROI. I'm more interested in multiplication and division. So with efficiency, you can multiply your ROI, right? And so you can also, by being inefficient, you can divide your ROI. So those are, it's a lever. So you got to look for those levers to lever your business up and do well in this industry.
It's good stuff. I'm appreciative of your time. I know you got people to see, places to go, and do things to do. Look forward to doing this again, and we'll have to rope our buddy Holden Hassel in with us now that we've got you introduced to the audience. So appreciate you, JP, and we'll do this again soon.
All right. Appreciate the opportunity. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESnation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.